Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
Today we're going to start a brand new series called Follow, and our ushers are passing out message notes. Now, if you're new to Grace, say, what are these things in my hand? Well, it's a place for you to fill in the blanks and follow along in the message so that you can learn and grow, and you can take them with you and use them in other situations, Bible studies at work or whatever. Say, hey, this is what we talked about on Sunday. But before we get into that, I want to take a minute and say thanks to everybody who made our last 4 weeks possible. The last 4 weeks was at the movies. Anybody enjoy the four Sundays that we had with At the Movies? Was that not great? Yeah. And God did some pretty amazing things. We had hundreds of first-time guests, some people who had never been to church in their life, some who hadn't been to church in a long time. And so what a great thing happened there, because more than 100 of them said, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Over 100 people. Would you give God praise for that? Pretty awesome stuff. No, I didn't just prophesy the Colts are going to beat the Bears and you patty cake like that. I said 100 people found Jesus and have been translated from darkness to light. That's awesome. So, I just want to take a minute and say thank you to the creative team that came together months ago to start planning, picking the movies, working on all the different creative things. And I wrote their names down because I don't want to forget anybody. Vanessa Sopke, Tracy Adams, Janann Jones, Michelle Nolan, Elena Solano, Allison Dutton, Josh Henry, Tom Stenko, Monique Moss, Alyssa Rubel, and our media team, and all of our pastors. Would you say thanks to all these guys for making it happen? So thank you. Now, I had originally planned to do a different series during the month of October, but I felt led to change direction because, honestly, what we've seen over the past few weeks is a move of God. We have seen a move of God right here where so many folks are giving their hearts to the Lord, and I've heard incredible stories of what God has done. And so I felt like it was important for us to take a few weeks and help people who are recently deciding to follow Jesus to take the next steps to what it means to follow Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about for these next few weeks. Today we're going to talk about follow the leader. And then next Sunday we're going to talk about the importance of following together, why family is important. And then we're going to talk about following the instructions. Anybody remember that acronym about the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth? So follow the instructions, and then following forever. I'm going to use a baseball illustration, because I love baseball, to talk about how to keep your faith in following Jesus for your entire life. And so I want to strongly encourage everybody to be here all four Sundays of this series. I know fall break is coming up, and some of you just have to travel. I don't want to, Pastor, but I got to travel. I understand. But just stay up with what's going on online and be here as much as you can. I think you're going to be happy that you did that. Okay, let's start. Anybody ever play Follow the Leader as a kid? All right? I don't know why more of you in the 11 o'clock play that game than the 9 o'clock. Maybe you're more like me. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. Here's how the game works. A group of people pick a leader. And then you do whatever the leader does. If the leader walks like this, you walk like this. If the leader jumps in the air, everybody's got to jump in the air. If the leader skips or whatever, everybody skips. If the leader jumps over a fence, everybody else jumps over a fence. Everybody get the rules? And it was really good until somebody jumped in a pond or something like that, but that's a whole different deal. But that's what it's like following Jesus. We follow the leader. Jesus is our leader. So what he does, that's what we do. So we think how he thinks. We love people the way Jesus loved people. We serve people the way Jesus served people. So now following Jesus is about becoming like Jesus and doing everything that he does. Does that make sense to everybody today? And so we follow, we imitate Jesus. Now that reminds us that salvation, Christianity, is more than just believing something, a list of things I believe, and it's more than just praying a prayer. Salvation, Christianity, is a decision to follow Jesus for the rest of your life. So instead of adjusting Jesus to my life, I now adjust my life to Jesus. I know that's simple, but it's powerful. I don't adjust Jesus to my life. I'm not adding religion to my life. No, no, no. I now reorganize my entire life around Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Now remember, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? What did it look like when Jesus invited them to be part of what he's doing? Look at what he says. In Matthew 4:19, he says, come what? Follow me. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, say it, follow me. And then in John chapter 1, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So the invitation from Jesus began with follow me. Now, how many know when Jesus gave them that invitation, each of them had a decision to make? Do I follow Jesus? Just because he asked me to, just because he tells me to, I still have to decide to follow the leader. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus invited others to follow him in the New Testament, and some did not. It takes a decision on our part to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is a decision we all have to make. Now, let me illustrate. Many of you remember an old song we used to sing in church years ago. I have decided to follow Jesus. Anybody remember that old song? They used to sing it at the end of every Billy Graham crusade. You know, when Billy Graham would preach the gospel and give people an opportunity to receive Christ, to follow Christ. You know, George Beverly Shea would get up there and sing, I have decided. Anybody remember that? Okay. Did you know there's a story behind that song? How that song came to be? I want to tell you the story because about 150 years ago, there was this great revival in Europe. And out of this revival, missionaries started going around the world to preach the gospel to lost people. Well, one particular missionary family ended up in India, where the demons now serve. And they went to this one particular tribe that was very hostile and violent people. Now, naturally, these missionaries weren't welcomed in this village. But the missionaries succeeded in winning a man, his wife, and his two kids to Jesus, to follow Jesus. And this new convert's faith, his faith began to be so contagious that many other villagers began to accept Christ and follow Jesus as well. So the chief of the village got pretty upset about all of this. And so he gathered the new convert, the man, his wife, and his two kids, all together, and he commanded the entire town to come together, and he demanded that the man from the family who first converted to Christ recant his faith or face public execution. So he brings them all together. The entire village is surrounding them, and he demands this man recant his faith or he's going to die. And miraculously, moved by the Holy Spirit, he began to sing these words.
I have decided,
if you know it, sing along.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
So when he said that, the chief of the village became very enraged. So the chief ordered his archers to shoot down the man's two sons and to kill them. The boys are laying dying on the floor. And the chief says to the man again, will you deny your faith? You've lost both of your children. You will lose your wife too. In reply, he sang these words.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me,
still I will follow.
Still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
The chief was just beside himself with fury. And he ordered the man's wife to be killed as well. So in just a moment, she joined her children in death. And he was asked one last time. He said, I'm going to give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live. So in the face of death, surrounded by death, the man sang these final memorable lines.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me,
the cross before me,
the cross before me,
no turning back,
no turning back, no turning back.
He was shot dead like the rest of his family. But with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killings was so moved by the faith of this brand new Christian. He said, why should this man, his wife, and two children die for a man who lived in a faraway land and on another continent some 2,000 years ago. He said, there has to be something supernatural behind all of this. And I too want this supernatural power. So right there, in a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared to the entire village, I too belong to Jesus. And when the crowd heard that confession from the mouth of their chief, the entire village accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I have decided to follow Jesus. Listen to me. When you make that declaration, I have decided to follow Jesus, something powerful happens in your heart, in your family, and in everybody around you. It is a powerful confession to make. Now, I want you to understand today that following Jesus requires a commitment. And that's what we need to know, that following Jesus requires commitment. It's not like following somebody on social media, right? If you're on social media, you know you can have followers on Twitter or other, you know, social media. And then, you know, it's great to have followers, but then there's always one that posting a little bit too much drama, if you know what I'm talking about, you know, or one too many videos of cats. And since we know no cats are going to heaven, why should that fill up my timeline? If you're new here, that's a joke. I'm sorry. But listen, if you don't like what somebody's saying, you don't like what they're posting, all you got to do is click, unfollow. There you go. You're no longer in my life. Such power. It's kind of funny. We don't follow Jesus like that. We follow with commitment. Are you with me today? Now, there's a cost and a commitment to following Jesus, which is what Jesus said in Luke 9:23. He said to them all, these people that he invited to follow him, here's what he said. If anyone would come after me or follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I want you to notice this word daily. He says, I want you to take up your cross daily. And what that means is that serving Jesus and following Jesus is more than just a one-time experience. It's a journey of faith and following Christ. Now, what that means is not everybody is on the same place in their journey of following Jesus. Everybody here is on a different place. Everybody watching online is at a different place. Some of you just now started following Jesus, and you're there at the beginning. Some of you have been following Jesus for a long time. And so the important thing is to never stop taking the next step. I want to say that again. The important thing is to never stop taking the next step. So if you're brand new following Jesus, you got to find out what the next step is. If you've been serving Jesus for 100 years, you still got to keep taking the next step, because we're taking up the cross how often? Daily. Now, years ago, I read a book by a pastor. It was in the very first year that I started pastoring this church, which means it was a while ago. And he really helped me understand, more so than anybody else, the different parts of the journey of following Jesus, or the invitations that Jesus gave to people when it comes to following Jesus. And I want to show them to you here today, because I think it helps us understand this journey of following Christ. And by the way, everybody is on one of these stages, okay? So here's the first one. To the crowd, Jesus said, come and see. You know, Jesus was a pretty popular guy because he did lots of miracles. He even fed people, right? And so there was this come and see, come and see. Jesus say, come and see what's going on around here. Come and see the miracles and all this types of stuff. Now, that was his first appeal, and he made it to the crowd. That's basically what we did for the last four Sundays of At the Movies, right? Come and see. Come and see Rudy Rudiger. Oh, yeah, Rudy, baby, you know. Come and see Finding Nemo, or come and see, you know, all of this stuff, or one of these special guests. That was basically what it was. Hey, come and see. Come and check it out. And a lot of people did. Now, you say, Pastor, is that biblical? Sure it is. Jesus did the exact same thing. Come and see. Come and check it out. Jesus' first invitation to Peter was come and see. And what happened? Jesus' first encounter with Peter, he fills his boat up with fish. Peter goes, I think I'm going to follow this guy. It's turning out pretty good for me. And so he did that. But how many know it doesn't stop with come and see? Because then Jesus takes it to the next step. The book calls it the congregation. Come and join us. So, hey, I've come, I've seen what's going on, I like what I'm hearing, I believe what you're saying. Well, then the next invitation is come and join us. Come and be part of what God is doing. Come and be part of something bigger than you. Come and be part of God's family. So, if you're one of those that have been here for the last few weeks, kind of kicking the tires, seeing what we're all about, kind of checking people out, checking the church out, you've come to realize, hey, this is not a bad place. There's some decent people who go to church here. Let me go ahead and invite you to move past come and see. Come and join us. Come and join us here at Grace. Come and join us and be part of what God's doing. It's a great family to be part of, and we want you to be here. Now, before I go on, I want to remind you that you can stay at come and see for as long as you want. You really can. You can come to Grace and just continue to check us out. I'm not going to ask you to give anything. I'm not going to ask you to serve anything. You don't have to do anything. Just come check us out. Because I'm going to tell you what. We want to be the type of church where people can just come and see. And feel loved and accepted while they're figuring it out. While the Lord is working in their lives. Are you getting this? And you can stay there as long as you need to. I like to call our church a safe place to hear a dangerous message. That's really what we're all about. So you're welcome to join us, but eventually we want you to come and join us. Come and be part of God's family. Step over the line of faith. Embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and that's what it means. And so how do you join the family of God? Well, by putting faith in Jesus Christ to save you, by following the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of you did that. In the last 4 weeks, some of you still need to do that. I'm inviting you to follow Jesus today. Now, remember, when you make this kind of commitment to be saved, what you are saying is, I have decided to follow Jesus, okay? And Jesus invited people to follow him even before they believed in him. You need to think about that. They're discipling people before they ever get right with God. So he's invited people to follow him before they ever believed in him, and then they believe. But then after you believe, it doesn't just stop there. Hey, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, hold on until Jesus comes. No, then we become the committed. We need to come and grow. What does that mean? Well, when I put faith in Jesus Christ to save me, the Bible calls me a spiritual baby. And how many know babies need to grow? They need food, they need encouragement, and they need that. And we, as spiritual babies, we've got to grow as well, right? Now, this is one reason we have changed up our growth track a little bit. Now, the first class of growth track is step one, follow. Because the very first thing that we all need to know is, what does it mean to follow Jesus, and how do I grow in my relationship with God? So in step one, we're going to talk about how to study the Bible. You know, instead of just opening the Bible and say, well, I don't know what to read, I'm going to land in Leviticus. No, we're going to show you where to start. We're going to talk to you about the different translations, how to actually study the Bible. The Bible is your spiritual food. So if you don't eat, you're not going to grow, right? We're also going to teach you how to pray. We're going to give you different ways to learn how to pray. Prayer is like breath to your spirit, man. If you don't pray, you're not going to survive. There's not going to be any spiritual oxygen. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Go to step one. We'll teach you how to pray. Or show up at one of our prayer services every Tuesday morning at 6:30. I lead a prayer service right over here in Connection Central. Just come and watch us pray. Just come and sit and listen. Because the best way to learn how to pray is watching other people pray and just praying yourself. Are you getting this? You got to grow. So Jesus invites us to come and grow. And how many know, if you're praying, if you're reading the scripture on a regular basis, you're following the one-year Bible or some kind of Bible plan, involved in a Bible study, you are going to grow. But something happens to us after we start growing. We realize I was created for something bigger than me. And then Jesus invites us to become part of the core where we come and serve. See, because when I grow in my relationship with God, something starts to dawn on me. I realize I am not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around me. I was made for a purpose. God created me with unique gifts and talents and abilities, and I'm actually supposed to use those to help other people. That's called serving. You weren't made to sit and soak and sour. You were made for a purpose. You were made to serve other people. That's called ministry. And so as we are growing, God invites us to come and serve. Come and share what God has done in your life. Well, Pastor, how do I figure that out? I'm glad you asked. Step 3 in the growth track is called discover. We're going to help you figure out who you are, what your gifts are, what your talents are. And then step 4, we're going to connect you with ministry leaders and figure out, hey, where's the best place for me to serve? Is it helping out at the food pantry? Is it working in a nursery? Is it on a hospitality team leading or learning? Whatever, we're going to help you find that as you grow in your relationship with God. Let me know that's good news. Can I go ahead and tell you, I have a dream. I have a dream of the perfect church. Now, you're pretty close. But I have a dream. And here's the dream. That everybody in our church attends one service and serves another service. Attend one, serve one. What are you talking about? Well, sometimes we think Sunday morning is all about me. I'm going to go to church, see what Pastor Wayne's got for me today, and go home. We'll talk about that later. Listen. There are people around here who need your help. Have you noticed people serving you in the parking lot, in the ushers, if you have kids? Did you notice that? Those people are volunteering. All those people the last 4 weeks who did all that crazy stuff, volunteers who served. Can I tell you, if you choose to serve, your walk with God will begin to accelerate faster than just about anything else. So I want to invite you to serve. Get involved in what God's doing. But Jesus did not stop with that step. Remember, we're supposed to take up our cross daily. So finally, we are invited to become part of the commission where we come and, it's hard to say out loud, isn't it? Come and die. Some of you are thinking of an old hymn, come and dine. No. That's not what he said. Come and die. Look at what he said in the scripture in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. If anyone would come after me, so follow him. If anybody would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Now listen, when you start reading the Bible, I call it gulp scriptures. You're going to come along some verses that you're going to say, oh, that's a little bit more than God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus said, if anybody comes back to me, if we go back to that previous screen, if anybody would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, what does that mean, to take up his cross? Well, in our culture, a cross is a piece of jewelry that we wear, or it's some nice thing that's in our house or our churches, this nice, clean cross. But I can promise you that the people in Jesus' time would have never understood people wearing crosses around their neck, because to them, a cross was a place of execution. It's a place where people die. So if you translate that to our current culture, it would be the equivalent of us wearing jewelry in the form of an electric chair. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? People would be keeping an eye on you if you wore that kind of jewelry, is all I'm kind of going to say. Listen. Jesus said, to follow me, you have to come and die. What does that mean? Is he talking about physically dying? No. He's talking about spiritually, emotionally deciding that your life no longer belongs to you. You are now following somebody else. You belong to somebody else. Someone else is in charge of your life. His name is Jesus. He invites us to come and to die, which means that I'm not just serving Jesus on Sundays. I'm following Jesus on Monday, and when I go to work, and when I go to school, And wherever I am, even when I'm playing sports and watching TV, I'm following Jesus, and he is in charge of everything in my life. He invites us to come and lay our lives down and die. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound very fun, but look at what Jesus said. If you die, you live. If you will take up your cross and die to yourself, that's actually how you find life. See, our world has it so messed up. Do whatever you want. You know, whatever feels good, whatever you think is right. We are the judge of the world. Jesus said that living, that type of thinking will end up in death. Hey, look around. That's how it's working out. But Jesus said, if you take up your cross and follow me, come and die, that's when you're going to find life. Anybody here want to testify that that's true? You're following Jesus and you have found life abundantly, more so than anybody. Come on, give God praise if you believe that's true. So my life is no longer about my life. My life is now about Jesus. So remember, everybody here is somewhere in that journey. Everybody here is somewhere in those steps of following Jesus. And so the courage is to take the next step, because we want everybody to move from no commitment to total commitment, from consumer to contributor, from Savior to Lord. I want you to understand, though, that this takes time. It does take time. That's why our church is called Grace. It takes time. It's probably not going to happen overnight, but when we follow Jesus daily, it will happen. Come on, somebody. So my job as the pastor, I'm not just the guy who talks a lot on Sundays. My job as a pastor, the Bible calls pastors shepherds, which makes you sheep. That's a whole other story. I heard a bah over here. My job as the shepherd is to show the way. My job as a shepherd to say, hey, come this way, sheep. You know, to make the path clear when it comes to understanding what it means to follow Jesus. So I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to be a good shepherd and help you understand what the next step is for you, to make the path clear. So whatever it is for you, take the next step. Now let me pause for just a second, take a time out, and encourage some folks. Because some of you have been serving Jesus for a while, but you're stuck. You've become a consumer. You've become a watcher. You've become an observer. And the Lord brought you to church today so that I could help you get unstuck and continue to take up his cross daily. Amen? Now let me turn back here, and I want to talk to the people who are in those first two steps, specifically those ones who have said, I put my faith in Christ. I'm part of the family of God. I have just made a decision to renew my commitment to the Lord or to put my faith in Christ. What's my first step? What's the very first thing that I should do, Pastor? Now what? Well, according to the Bible, your first step is water baptism. That's the next thing that you should do in following Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, those who accepted his message were what? Were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So this happened. Peter preaches this message in Acts. All of these people say, what must I do to be saved? Peter explains the gospel to them. They get right with God, and they're like, well, what's next? And Peter said, get baptized in water. That's the very next step for folks who give their hearts to the Lord. That's their first response to salvation. In the New Testament, 27 times after people decided to follow Jesus, the first thing they did was to be baptized. And guess what? They didn't wait until the church had a baptism service. Most of them got baptized right then, right there, spontaneously. Look it up in the book of Acts. Philip is preaching to a dude from Ethiopia. He explains Jesus to him. He embraces Jesus as Savior. The Ethiopian says, hey, there's some water. Why don't I get baptized today? Philip said, let's do it. Now that's Wayne's translation, by the way. But right there, on the side of the road, they jump out of the chariot, he gets baptized in water. That's what it means to be baptized. It's the obvious next step for all of us to be baptized in water. Now, that's why, listen closely, we baptize believers but dedicate babies. Okay? Because baptism in the Bible is always post-decision. We're baptized in water after we decide to follow Jesus, and babies can't make that decision yet. So we dedicate babies, and we pray with families, and it's awesome, but baptism is for those who have decided to follow Jesus post, it's always post-decision. So, now if you're one of the people who recently gave your heart to the Lord, you are ready to be baptized right now, today. No, right now, today. And I've got some really good news. We're ready for you. We made plans to help you say yes to Jesus and following him. Some of you came to church dry, but you're going to leave wet. There's a lot of folks that came today preparing to be baptized. They are ready for it. Some of you, I'm going to convince you in the next few minutes, today's the day. Okay? Pastor, why? Why do I need to be baptized? Let's talk about that. Well, we're baptized to follow, there's that word, to follow the example of Jesus, right? We want to follow the example of Jesus. Remember the game? Follow the leader, do whatever Jesus does. Guess what Jesus did? He got baptized in water. So we should be baptized in water. Now here's the kicker. He didn't need to be baptized in water because he didn't need to be saved. He was perfect. He never sinned even one time. We're the hooligans who have sinned, and that's why he died for us, right? So Jesus only did it as an example for us to, you get the word, to follow. And so that's why we get baptized in water. A good way to think of it, I think this will help people grasp what baptism is all about and why it's so important. Think of it as the wedding band of Christianity. Think about it like that. A wedding band does not make me married, does it? You know, years ago, somebody decided that wedding bands and metal is going to be a symbol of a marriage covenant, okay? So, listen, I wear a wedding ring on my finger because I want to show that I belong to somebody, right? Post-marriage. I already made the decision. I'm going to marry Tracy. It was a great decision, okay? And so I put this thing on as an identifier that what have already done. So the wedding ring doesn't make me married. It's a symbol of it. Are you getting this? In the same way, water baptism becomes a symbol that we are now following Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's one big game of follow the leader. And then before we get to that verse, you know, water baptism is really, I think, the first test of followership. Are you truly going to follow Jesus? Because if we're going to follow him, we're going to do what he says. Right? And so, okay, God moved in my heart. I convicted me of sin. I prayed to receive Christ. Well, now what? Well, now you follow. You obey. What if I don't do that? Well, here's what the Bible says. Someone may say, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I belong to Jesus. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, he is a... Ouch. So listen closely. I think Jesus put water baptism right up front after you put your faith in Christ to save you as a test of obedience. Do you follow or are you still negotiating with Jesus? Is he truly your leader, or is he kind of your buddy? You kind of like Jesus. No. This is a test of obedience. It's a test of followership, right? Now, here's the second reason to get baptized is to demonstrate my changed life. To demonstrate my changed life. And all of us need to demonstrate that we are now different than we were before. When I was in Northern Africa a few months ago, we were in the city of ancient Carthage. And church history is huge in that part of the country because millions of folks were followers of Jesus. And so we visited this ancient baptism, which was really just a big hole in the ground. But it was like 30 feet down in the ground. And so all these people would gather around and watch this baptism. So the folks who would be baptized would descend down into this hole where the water was, and they would be baptized. A very symbolic that they were descending into their death. They get in the water, they get baptized, leave their clothes behind, and then they would climb the stairs, ascending into a new life in Jesus Christ. So they would go in one person, they would come out another person. Does that make sense to everybody? And so we are demonstrating, that's not who I used to be. I am no longer who I used to be. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a thief. I am not a liar. I am now a child of God. So I'm demonstrating my changed life, and that's so important. Here's what 1 Peter said. In baptism, we show, so it's a game of show and tell, in baptism, we show that we have been saved. Now, does baptism save you? No, but it shows that you have been saved from death and doom by the resurrection of Christ, not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because in being baptized, we are turning to God and asking Him to cleanse our hearts from sin. So we are demonstrating what God has already done in our lives. Now, here's the third reason you need to be baptized in water today. It's to declare my intentions publicly. To declare my intentions publicly. Now, we're almost done, but you know the world wants you to think that your faith is private. You know, my own personal relationship with God. No. Jesus said this is not a private thing. This is not a private issue. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can never be hidden. God does not call us to a private faith. He calls us to a public faith. Come on, somebody. You know, having a private faith would be kind of like going back to this wedding band analogy. Every time I leave my house in the morning, I take the wedding band off, I put it in this little container in the garage, click, go to work, go do what I do. But when I come back in the garage, I go back and get my wedding band and put it back on, you know, to remind my wife I'm married. I don't wear my wedding band for my wife. I wear my wedding band for everybody else to show them I belong to somebody. I belong to my wife. Matter of fact, if I did that in the garage every day, my wife would say, what's up, homie? What in the world is going on? That's kind of crazy, isn't it? We're supposed to declare our intentions publicly. Listen, the Lord is saying you need to make a public declaration in front of others. So baptism is our wedding ring of the faith, so to speak. One last verse, Matthew chapter 10. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But listen closely. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. That's why that man who wrote that song would not recant his faith. I will not deny my faith in Jesus. I will publicly declare my faith in Jesus. So where are you on the journey of following? Wherever you are, take the next step. Those of you that have recently given your heart and life to Jesus, take your first step, which is water baptism. And something about it, it just is powerful. You are making a declaration, I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen? David, would you bring that back up here for a second? Today is your day to be baptized. You see, Pastor, I'm not ready. I didn't come ready to be baptized in water. Well, like I said, we're ready for you. Okay? We have prepared a string pack full of stuff. Now, how many know when you get wet, everybody needs a towel? Right? So you got to have a towel. So we have a towel for anybody who wants to get baptized today. There's also this nice shirt that says, I have decided. Isn't that awesome? We're going to give it to you. Keep it. Don't turn it back. We don't want it. All right? And then we have a variety of shorts, a variety of sizes, all right, for you to wear and put all that. And so you can take those and you can pick them up on your way out at the Next Steps kiosk, go to a bathroom, change, and report to the water back there in the hub and be baptized today. But Pastor, I'd like some people to be here to witness and see all that. Well, we're going to have a photographer right there. Click. You can show them. Here's proof, baby. I got baptized in water. Amen. Now, there's a bunch of people being baptized today, but I want to invite Jonathan and Krista and Josh, come up here and join me real fast. Jonathan and Krista and Josh, these are going to be some of our folks who are going to be baptized today. Jonathan and Krista got married yesterday. Congratulations. It was a lovely ceremony. I was there. It was great. Jonathan gave his heart to the Lord at the singing Christmas tree last December. Amen. Praise God. And Krista has been in church pretty much all of her life, but recommitted her life to the Lord. And so today, together as husband and wife, they're going to take the first steps of following Jesus and say, we are followers of Jesus Christ today. How about that? Pretty awesome stuff. Stay right here. This is Josh. And what's your name? Jordan. That's a great name, Jordan. And Josh, I understand you gave your heart to the Lord last year at the movies. Wow. I think this thing works. You know? And so these four are going to be baptized first. Right now. Right now. So here's what I want you guys to do. All right? I want you to go through that door. You guys know where you're going? All right? You're going to go to the water. So follow the water. And then there's going to be a pastor in their water. And we're all going to watch you right there on that screen. All four of you. Okay? Are you ready? I want you to cheer them on like this actually is a big deal. Go ahead. Go ahead right there. Everybody, come on, cheer them on. Come on! Come on! Give it up! Come on, let them hear it until they're already there. Here they come, here they come, here they come. Let's go, let's go. All right. Are we going to watch them? Yeah, I think we're going to watch them. Bring that live feedback up, I think. There we go, here we go. How about getting baptized for your honeymoon? I love it. It's great. Awesome. Nobody's drowned yet. I know that. We haven't lost anybody. Congratulations to Krista. This is Jordan.
Son and the Holy Spirit.
Come on, somebody give God praise. Come on, somebody give God praise. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of God. Amen. Stand all over this room today. Stand up, stand up. Now listen, listen. So today's your day. Why not do it today? Get baptized today. Just go out and get the pack from the Next Steps kiosk and go get baptized in water. Now listen, listen. We're going to be baptizing people every Sunday in October. Every single Sunday in October. So if you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can't do it today, come ready next week. We're going to do baptism after every service in October. But for most of you, don't even wait. Make today your day. There's water. Why not get baptized? Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Have a great day. See you in small groups. We love you.